silent, Holy Spirit. Amen. It is good to be back. Montana is pretty nice though, too. Some years ago, mid-90s, I was invited to lead, facilitate a Sunday Salon series on interfaith studies. There were six or seven couples in the group, Jews, Buddhists, Christians, atheists, and I don't know what I am. It's a marvelous group. The median age was about 80. The youngsters are coming in at 77, 78. You know what they're like. So much to learn. These folks had a vast work experience. There was a publisher in the group, writer, artist, a woman who began women's studies in the 70s in Contra Costa's college education circuit. Quite something. Business folks, financiers, a research biologist, and two physicists. And of course, we talked about interfaith, which meant we had to talk about God and life and death. And at one of our sessions, one of the physicists shared that he'd been part of the Trinity Project. Much in the news now, right? The Oppenheimer movie, Nagasaki this week. Trinity. How did it ever get that name? Trinity? Of all the words in the English language, Trinity. Well, on the morning of the day, the first test, it all gathered together, and the countdown began. 3, 2, 1. Nothing. So all the scientists huddled. Couldn't figure out what to do, and finally, my friend in this group, Barney, volunteered to go figure it out. Now, I don't recall the distance between the trench in which the scientists were. Do you remember that iconic Trinity metal tower, right, where you see Oppenheimer advertisements? Several hundred yards, at least. And he crawls out of the trench. And he said every step was life, death, life, death, life, death. What might happen at any moment? He made it to the tower, scaled it, worked at the top, ignition system, fire, whatever it was, did the adjustments that he thought he could, crawled down, and went back. At a faster pace, he acknowledged, but not running. Life, death, life, death, life, death, life, death, life, death. Jumps in the trench. 3, 2, 1. And life forever changed on this planet. The Germans call this a Totentanz, a dance with death. A Totentanz comes at us in so many different ways, this dance with death. Barney asked me, rhetorically, Should I have done it? In our text today, King Herod is having a birthday party. Everyone who was anyone was there. I heard a celebration. And he had his wife's daughter Salome dance, and she was good. I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. What would you like? And she says, I want John the Baptist's head. He's in the prisons below. And Herod delivered the totem. Becomes a banquet of death. Should he have done it? Meanwhile, Jesus is out in the wilderness with 5,000 people, feeding them on loaves and fishes. Banquet of life, a banquet of abundance. And that's when he gets the word that John the Baptist had just been murdered. So he sends everyone away. And he goes into the hills to pray in silence, in stillness. Solitude. Certainly mourning John the Baptist, but more so, Jesus realized that he is now the target of the totentots. It was coming to get him. Our scriptures say this is a moment for Jesus like that of Elijah, who is fleeing for his life. It sometimes blows my mind how we think the Bible is just some nice children's story. Most of the time, they're at the expense of somebody's life. Elijah, what are you doing here? Question. What are you doing here? He says, I'm the last one, the only prophet remaining. You're out to kill me. God says, I'm going to pass by. And there were raging fires at Mount Horeb. Like a wild. But God wasn't in the fire. There were earthquakes. There was Syria, but God wasn't in the earthquake. Storms, hurricanes like the Southeast, the Philippines, God wasn't in. Then there was a still, small murmuring. And Elijah cloaks himself because he knew he was in the immediacy of the presence and the intimacy of God. Asking, what are you doing? And Elijah said, have you ever heard of a totem tots? They're out. Hans Merton made the comment that contemplatives, you know, these monks, are dedicated to listening for that still, small murmur. Their whole lives are dedicated. And Merton said, contemplatives have nothing to tell you. Contemplatives have nothing to teach you. We are here to reassure you that if you dare to enter the silence and the stillness and the solitude of your own heart, you and we can recover the light and the capacity to understand what is beyond words and beyond explanation. We are overwhelmed by the tokutans these days, aren't we? Wave after wave after wave. It's that listening for that still murmuring. We're hopeful. Why are you here? Why are you here? What are you doing here? Jesus finished his time of solitude. He went to be with the disciples where they were. They're in a boat, which is an ancient symbol of the church. They're on the lake, over the waters, which are a symbol of the abyss. There's a storm, a tokutans going on, and Jesus goes to be with them where they are. When they see him, they cry out in fear, "It's a ghost!" And he says, "Courage, I am." Now this is the ancient name of God. Most texts translate, "It's me, I'm over here, don't worry, hi, it's Jesus." Whoa, I am always with you, wherever you are. Peter says, "Can I come to you?" Jesus says, "Come." Better to be with Jesus inside of chaos than a boat that may sink in the abyss, right? He moves towards him. He falters. The storm, panics, loses focus. Jesus grabs him. Chaos abounds. We can't stop it. But we can see through it. Today we're invited to listen. That murmuring within our own hearts, around us, surrounding, but listen within. So that we can move beyond that trinity of the tokutans, the trinity who makes life real. It's time to taste the meal. Us. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, hearts and your minds.